Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a new day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday to each and every one. And for some of you, I know it is already Monday, but I have two exciting episodes lined up for you today. If you have not yet done so, I want you to take a few minutes while we play our theme song, and I want to ask you to tweet, text, and call everyone and let them know to join this conversation.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I want to be more than just somebody. I want to be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
I tell you, one of the reasons I'm excited about the episodes today is because both of my guests are from my tribal family, the Afesters. My first guest, Lee Lindsay, will be joining us with her melodious voice and music out of Canada. And Panja Gupta will be joining us later on speaking about tapping, and he is out of Singapore. So I tell you, when I say we go global, we go global. And you know, as always, that on Sundays, we focus on life issues from different aspects of that. And today, as we listen to the music of Lee, and we listen to her story, I know that there will be a lot of healing that will be taking place. And then we are going to put the icing on the cake later in the latter 45 minutes of the show when I get Panja on. So I want for you to remember to be part of the conversation by calling in 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guests 3292, 3341, 3388, 352, 335, 34 to the chat. Although you're in the chat, you're welcome to call in too if you have a question or a comment. You do not need to wait for the end of the show to do so. We include them as we go along. And if you're on the telephone line and you wish to call in, I want for you to touch star 1 and you raise your hand, I will know that you want to speak. I also want to remind you to check out our website, DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com. If you have not yet connected with me on Twitter, I am at Twitter at Dynamic Daphne and Facebook.com/Dynamic Daphne. I'm also on LinkedIn and also other social media platforms. So just take the time to Google me and connect with me on all the platforms that you are able to do so on. And right now I want to play, before I bring Lee on live, I want to play for you her newest single, which is entitled Flowers. Huh. Ooh, I have to bring her on live because I'm not sure what is happening. I click and I'm not getting it to play. So why don't I just bring her on live? That's a shame. Lee, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hello, Daphne. I guess technology is getting in our way, hey?
Yes, I click the play and it is not playing. Let me try something else. But what I want for you to do, just go ahead, take a few minutes and introduce yourself to the listeners. I am going to try and see if I can play it on another way.
Sure, I will do that. So
go ahead.
Do you want me to say hello to everyone?
Yes, just tell the listeners who you are, and then I will see if we can get this playing.
Sure, sure thing. Well, I think there's 70 listeners on here that know me anyway, so hello, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Lee Lindsay here from Vancouver, Canada at Poppy Cottage, and please do feel free to call in to Daphne or to tweet her if you have any questions or if you want to speak to her or any questions for me. Saying that, I speak to most of you pretty much every day on Facebook, so that's kind of cool. I did meet Daphne.
Just one correction. They don't need to tweet me because I am not going to be, I'm not on Twitter, not while
okay.
I am doing the show, but they can tweet other people to tell them about the show. Let me try and see if we can play it from my computer. So I am trying to play this. And if I'm not able to play, then people will just need to go to YouTube and listen to this amazing song because I've been listening to it since yesterday. So let's see what we are doing here.
Okay.
It is a real honor to have you here. So let's see what happens. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to see if you hear.
There it is.
Wonderful. Technology
very quiet,
is amazing.
Though.
Yes, we're not
very,
able
very
to
quiet.
Do any better.
Perhaps we could ask people to let us know if they can hear it.
What I ask is a friend inside me. Okay. Beautiful. I want to thank Estelle Handy. Yes, she could hear it was a bit soft. And Lee, she says she's loving your music out of Philadelphia. But I
know Estelle. I met her on my last tour.
Although it was soft, I'm glad we were able to at least play it because it uploaded, as you know, we're having some issues. However, when I clicked on the play, it just would not play. So there's something else that is going on. But we'll figure that out at another time. We have two others that's uploaded. So with that being said, welcome to my world. Thanks for setting time aside and for choosing us over the Oscars. Thank you for joining us, for coming. I tell you, you could not be at a better place. Flowers. I'm going to go in the back way now, seeing that I played the song. Explain a little bit about flowers, and then after that explanation, I am going to go back and ask you to share your story.
All right, then. So flowers, the song came about because one day I was a little bit frustrated in my life, and I thought I should sit down with a piece of paper and pen and write down everything in a man that I was looking for and everything out of love that I was looking for. So I wrote this very long piece of prose of all the things I was looking for. And then I took all the bits out of it and made it into a song and made it into an album and made it into a fragrance and made it into my tour called Flower Power Tour. And as it happens, my branding is flowers anyway, because I've been hosting a showcase series for singer-songwriters for 13 years in London and the UK and then in Canada, called Tall Poppy Presents. And I don't know. I just play on it all. I play on it all. I try and make it fun. You know, social media and all this stuff, it can become tedious, and I just want to have fun with it if I'm going to be involved.
All right. So let's go back from the beginning because I'm sure we're going to be coming back to flowers, because you said something extremely important, that you took pen and paper to write down what you were looking for in a man, and we are definitely going to go back to that. But let us start from the beginning and tell people who you are as a person, your early beginnings. What was your journey like? Let's talk about that a bit.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't put my journey any more special than other people's journeys. We've all been through so much, and once we get to a certain age, you know, age 5, there's one thing, age 10, 15, 20, and you accumulate more of life stories. For me, there have been times that I could look at my story and really, really be down and really cry about it and want to give up, and I didn't. So I just took the option. I'm not saying right away, like I sprung back each time, you know, like a poppy. But you know, most of the time I did my best, whatever it took. Whenever I wasn't feeling okay, there's something wrong with me, I'm not happy, there's something that I'm not feeling happy, I did something about mending myself, whether it be to see a healer.
Am I to understand that your journey has not been without bumps in the road?
No, absolutely. Lots of bumps.
Okay. And that's important, because a lot of times people will look around and figure that their life is the only one with bumps in the road. And when they stumble, instead of getting up and brushing themselves off, they just roll over into the trenches and the gutter. And, you know, we spoke yesterday at length to you, and you have followed a significant path throughout your life. There were times when you had to reinvent what you were doing, but within the core authentic place of who you are, You always know what was the correct thing to do and what you need to return to and feel confident in that. You know, what were some of the careers or vocation that you embarked upon during your lifetime?
Well, there are only three main ones.
Mm-hmm.
I started off as when I was 13 years old. I worked for my parents. I'm not going to call that a career. That wasn't out of choice. So I worked for my parents.
Were they paying
you? They were, but then I had to use the same money to pay for my music lessons. So we'll pay you $2, and that $2 goes to your music lessons.
That's right. You are earning.
Yeah. So I always wanted to do music, but I being from a middle class background, I didn't imagine myself, even though I loved singing and I loved playing and writing, I just couldn't imagine myself being an out-of-work teenager going off on my own and just being out of work and just doing, no, I'm just going to do my singing, because for me that just doesn't exist. My father was an entrepreneur. My parents worked, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. You work. You don't not work. So I found a type of work that I could do that wasn't 10 hours a day, but it got me, it was modeling, and I took the course when I was 13, and I finished my course, and I went off around the world when I was 15, too young to leave home, but nonetheless, that's behind me now.
Beautiful.
And I used that experience of being able to go all around the world. You know, in one hand, and then you can read that in my bio, one hand was my guitar, one hand was my modeling portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the world, you know, it was amazing.
And you know, I married
a British man when I, and I had two British children, and who are the most terrific human beings ever. They're also in music. My father was a drummer and a singer.
Wow.
So you breastfed those kids' music, too. Pardon me?
You breastfed the kids' music, huh?
Yeah. I did, but I didn't push them into it. They naturally went into it on their own. I didn't push them.
No, I said you breastfed those kids, so they got
right,
it in the milk.
Okay.
They got it in the milk.
Come to think of it, yes. Were you there?
Yeah. That's what because you know something? We don't have to be forced to that which we are called to be. Because it happens. Because although you went around and you traveled the world runway to be a model, you came back to your authentic place, which was music. And they
say that
children live what they learn. I am sure your children saw what music did to the family. So when I said that you breastfed them the music, not that you forced them, but...
I gotcha.
You know,
yeah.
it was part of the nutrition that you was giving to them. You know, they
was
getting the motherly love, they getting the breast milk, but they was also getting the authenticity of being a musician from that.
Yes. And being surrounded by music, and all my friends were musicians,
mm-hmm.
and... I always worked from home, and I had a studio at home. I was
beautiful.
There for every meal they had and every sports thing and homework. But and yet,
beautiful.
You know, in the background, always music and me making my demos and me writing with other people.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Beautiful.
I gotta say, I loved our lives together.
You know, yeah. It's interesting we are having this conversation because I'm a single mother, Lee. And I was speaking with my son, who lives in Jamaica, earlier on today. And he says to me, oh, Mom, I'm going to get it right. Because he says, if I was smart, I would not be working for someone. He said, from I was born, I observe you working for yourself. But still, I have made the decision to work for somebody else. And I said, well, the choice is up to you. I'm sure if you are feeling in your heart of hearts that you want to be an entrepreneur, you're going to make that decision.
Yeah.
So the children observe us, and they see what we are doing, and they can assess and evaluate. So, you know, parenting is rewarding. A lot of times we think they are not watching us and everything like us, like that, but they are. And it makes us very proud, too, when they tend to do the things that we are doing without us nudging them
to know,
do that.
I know. But we have to bear in mind, too, that that can be egotistical, too. I mean, you know, yeah, it does. It makes me feel great, but at the same time.
Yeah, in a humble way, in a humble way.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I want to move forward here because we have a little bit over 30 minutes remaining here. And so I know you did the modeling and everything. You raise your family and you enjoy your music and everything. And there was a time in your life when you lost someone dear to you, but because of the way the transition took place, instead of it being a devastation to you, it ended up being a crown and something joyful. You want to talk about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually when you and I spoke yesterday, we did speak about my mom, but you know, the first person to die, that's my close, you know, the close person was my sister when she was 17 years old.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I'm sorry for that.
So
I didn't hear
that. That was my first experience of that closeness and death. That hit me pretty hard. But at the same time, her name was Bonnie. I'm really blessed to have the spiritual feeling. Like, I believe in God, and the universe, whatever you want to call it, there is one God for all of us. There's not, you know,
exactly,
one universe, there's one,
mm-hmm,
one source.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm,
you know, as much as I knew she wasn't here on the planet with me and my family anymore, I can't even believe I'm getting emotional here.
That's okay. That's okay.
But
that's,
you know,
all right,
she's
right there now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and I've always felt that, and
mm-hmm,
you know, yeah, all through my, actually, and I've been told by different spiritual people that she watches down over me. Both her and my mom do, so it's,
mm-hmm,
great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lee, while you catch your breath, I'm going to try to play "Lighten Up." Let's hope it play. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess you're hearing that sound again. Continue speaking. I don't know, because I uploaded them as the way it is. Anyhow, we'll figure out.
Okay.
What,
well, yeah,
went.
I can talk about when I was really I released my first album in 2000 or 99 or 2000, and I came from England. I was living in England at the time. I did a tour of Canada. I brought the kids with me to visit for a while. Then they went back to England, and I did a tour of all the main cities here of the new album. But when I was writing that album, oh, my goodness, it was so cute. My mom was passing, and I was there by her bed. And she said, she said, play for me, play for me. I love it when you sing. And I said, okay, Mom, okay. So I stood by the bed and I'm singing away, and she said, oh, it makes me feel so happy. You're no Celine Dion, but you're good.
Oh, my heaven. And which song was it?
Oh, I was singing the song. I wrote for her was called Brave. And
okay,
then
let me try and play it from my other platform. I was trying before.
Okay, sure.
Let's
sure.
try and see what happens here. That's Lightening Up, ladies and gentlemen, with Lee Lindsay. Yeah. All right, Miss Lee.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, when you wrote that song, what was happening with you? You told us what was happening with Flowers and out of that. What was happening when you wrote this Lightning Up?
You know, I actually co-wrote that song with a couple of other people, Dave Christie from Scotland and Mike Brain from England, London. And it's just that song just is, I wanted to write a song at the time that is happy. You know, so many songwriters, we write something that's so introspective and so you know, Debbie Downer, and I wanted to write something that was happy. But that's funny, that song is, that's the closest to Simon Cowell that I've ever been, because that song came in the final eight in the Great British Song Contest in 1996,
Wonderful.
Yeah, and Simon loved that song.
Wonderful. And I just want to thank you for sending that to me, because especially for me to have this to play on a Sunday when we are talking about adversities and all the challenges that people encounter in their lives. They need to know that it's not the end of the road. It's okay. They can have fun and relax while they are going through this, because that's where they're going to find their strength. So thank you for that. Go ahead.
You're welcome. And as you said yesterday, you know, for those people who aren't so strong, to be able to just to reach out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm. It is. Because, you know, a lot of women, they live in a world of shame and humiliation, and they tend to fit themselves in a box that says less than, and they don't want to reach out. But, you know, we are here, and especially we are in an era where digitally, I've never met you, but we have something in common, that we are part of the AFES community. So
That's because
of this digital platform, we can reach out and give a virtual hug and support each other.
We can.
Regardless,
I know, it's
of what part of the world.
Yes.
You know? So ask for help, ladies, because it is there. I want to remind people to call in. The number to do so is 646-915-8166. If you have been to any of Lee's concert, or if you listen to her music and it is doing something significant in your life, I want you to call in and speak. I mean, everybody wants to know that the work that they are doing is touching the life of someone else. She's on until 7:45, so now is your time. Grab the phone, call in, 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166, and I'm on now with my honored guest, Lee Lindsay. And I have one more song, Lee, that we're going to try and play before you get off, which is Hemingway. You want to talk a little bit about that song? I want to hear about it before.
Okay, well, Hemingway is a song that I wrote when I was inspired to write from a trip. I did a tour in 2002 of Florida, and I was in Key West and visited all of Hemingway's homes and all around his bars that he frequented. And my guitarist at the time said, let's go into this little bookshop. I bought Islands in the Stream, and I underlined everything, all the words in that book that I loved, and I later turned it into a song, but that book went through a fire. My house burnt down in 2007. So The book went through a fire, and I didn't have any of the book or anything underlined, but I found it later. I had actually didn't find the book, but I had written into another book all the lines, and I was just like, oh, treasure. It was
what,
like, all charred and everything.
What,
and I wrote
blessing.
The song, and it's all about every, almost 95% of the lines are from the book Islands in the Stream.
Okay, so I'm going to play this because I want to make sure the listeners hear it, and then we are going to come back, and we are going to end up with you, and unless you want to play something live, but let us play the third song that I have here for Lee Hemingway.
Lovely, thank you.
You're welcome. And don't forget, guys, call in 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. All right. Oh, thank you, Estelle, for your question. Are you there, Lee?
I'm here.
All right. Estelle has a question for you. What artist
Estelle, fire away.
What artist influenced you during your early... Wait. All right. Somebody else have a question, but I need to get back up to Estelle's own. Hold on. She wanted to know what artists influenced you in your early years of music and which ones influence you now.
You know, I can't even, if people ask me that all the time, and I don't know if it's my parents' music that influenced me, which would be like all the Elvis things and the Johnny Cash and Kenny Rogers and the Fifth Edition and the Eagles and that. Well, I think maybe the Eagles more me. And then, you know, now, I mean, goodness, I think the people that, who has influenced me the most is all of the 800 or so acts that I have had on my stage over the last 13 years when I've hosted Tall Poppy Presents, both in London and Vancouver. You know, not the famous people. It's the people that are struggling, and some of them make it and some of them don't. And you know, like you, the people that we know that have, I mean, I don't want to be name dropping here, but we all know the people that I know. Well, anyway, I just think that some of those people that, all of those people, those songwriters that have been on the Tall Poppy stage, they influence me. They are my inspiration.
Beautiful. Annie Marie says she has never met Yuli. She only knows you from what she reads online. She finds you as an example of perseverance, a positive inspiration. You have raised kind-hearted children. Find ways to make the most of life, of the life you live, with a legacy. Thank you, Anne-Marie. I mean, that's such an amazing compliment.
Thank you so much. That's such a kind thing to say. Thank you.
Yes, and she's hearing you. And because, you know, I am thankful that these women have stepped up to the microphone to speak this truth, because not very often that we find women who are kind to each other.
So, I don't know where Anne Marie is from, but I think in Canada, I got to say, we're a little softer edge than the rest of the world. I think we're pretty kind.
I don't know. Well, we can only be responsible for ourselves. So, Lee, I hate to see you go. However, I will speak until my other guest calls in. But we are going to need to tie up because it's 7:40, so we have another 5 minutes remaining with you. I want to thank you for taking this time to honor my guests with your melodious music and voice. So I want to give you 5 minutes to close up, and we'll continue until the other guest calls in.
Thank you so much, Daphne. I really appreciate you reaching out yesterday and asking me to do this. It's amazing. I would love to say to everybody that I've got a trip. Yeah, seems like a trip. It's a tour coming up, and I'm planning on leaving out of Vancouver end of April, working my way down the West Coast across the bottom states, over to Florida, and then back kitty corner across through Colorado and up through Alberta and home again. It'll be about 7-week tour. And I'm reaching out right now. I need your help. I need, you know, whatever you can throw at me as far as private house concerts go, contact me. You know, all we need is a room of 10 people for a private show, as long as it's not too off the beaten track to where I'm going. The more the merrier. If you have a local cafe that you can get me in at, we don't need a PA system because I've got my own. I'm traveling with my own. It's a beautiful small bow system. So please reach out to me. I need 30 dates to be able to make this successful. My last tour was amazing. I met so many of you that I've known, that I've come to know on online, and it was amazing making all your acquaintances and putting a face, a real face, as opposed to just a picture. And so, yes, please, you know, I've also got this new port songs that I'm doing. I know I'm a little bit slow at getting it started because I'm actually booking the tour myself this time instead of with the other person who helped me last time because it wasn't actually as helpful as I'd hoped. So, yeah, I'm reaching out to all you guys to jump, put your big pants on and come and help me. Thank you so much. And thank you, Daphne, for having me on. Thanks everybody for putting the Oscars on low. I'm sure you're watching it in the distance.
Okay. Thank you, Lee. Hold on. Hello, guests. Your last four numbers are 2040. Is this my other guest?
Can you hear me? This is Pankaj.
Okay, yes. Now I can hear you. I am sorry because your number, it showed up as the same number like Lee's number. So I guess that's what happened. So I apologize. You are on the board.
Nope.
So let me just close off with Lee. Lee, I want to thank you and a lot of success on the tour. And let's
thank
keep in
so
touch,
much,
okay?
Daphne, I will be seeing you. I'm sure our paths will cross and we'll be able to give more than virtual hugs.
Okay, my sister. Be well and go break a leg on the tour, okay?
Thank you so much. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Yeah, good night. Bye-bye. Well, hello, everyone. I now have my second guest. As a matter of fact, he was on all along, but I saw both numbers came up as the same thing. I guess it was just Skype International, and I didn't know. So actually, he was on the entire episode listening. So I want to thank him for his patience and for joining us all the way
it's my
from
pleasure,
Singapore.
Daphne. Thank you for having me, Daphne. It is a pleasure.
I want to allow you to take this time and just take a few minutes and introduce yourself to my listeners, please.
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Pankaj. My full name is Pankaj Gupta. I'm calling you from Singapore right now, where I spend a lot of my time working. I'm originally from New Delhi, India. That's where I grew up. That's where I started my practice. I'm trained to be an engineer, and I come from a long line of engineers and industrialists, for example. And for the last 15 years, the one thing that I've done most consistently is help people get rid of their pains, emotional pains, physical pains, unhealable pains, incurable pains, you know, traumas, things like that. And so one of the questions that I get a lot is, well, you know, you're from a hardcore engineering background. How did you end up wiping people's tears for a living? And the answer is that since I was a young boy, I had a growing number of pains in my physical body, which I got no help for. And it wasn't for lack of trying. Growing up in a place like India, there are many options available. In New Delhi itself, I remember since I was 10 or 11 years old, my mother taking me every weekend to somebody who she thought might be able to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been a homeopath, an Ayurvedic doctor, or Tibetan medicine, Yunani medicine. I don't know how many different types of medicine I had, and most of them tasted awful.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing helped. And there are two things, there are two examples I can give you that exemplify what I was going through. Between the ages of 10 and 12, I started getting migraines, which at that time used to last half a day. I could tolerate them. I didn't need any medicine. And I developed a problem, a rather painful problem in my right knee.
Mm-hmm.
And as a young boy, you know, I didn't let any of those things slow me down, but they caught up with me. By the time I finished engineering school, my migraines would last me 4 days and hit me twice a month like clockwork, debilitating migraines.
Mm-hmm.
My knee had hurt continuously since I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And I've shown it to doctors in India, I've shown it to doctors in the United States and in some other countries, and no two doctors could even give me the same diagnosis, forget about a cure.
Mm. My Lord.
My entire back used to hurt, and I remember as a 20-year-old engineering student, I used to carry a bottle of ibuprofen in my bag. And I don't think you've ever heard of a 20-year-old carrying painkillers. I don't think I don't think you even know a 60-year-old carrying painkillers.
My Lord.
So, So by the time I was in my mid-20s and finished with my education, I'd started working, I felt like I was in my 80s because even driving to work was a big pain. For years and years and years, I could not get enough sleep because no matter which position I lay down in, something hurt.
Was agony. Wow.
And there's only so much medicine you can take.
Until your body becomes immune to it, yeah.
Exactly. And as you may have heard, as you may have experienced, when you're really ready, help appears.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure
yeah.
does.
And so, sure. exactly. And so when I was really ready, which was out of sheer desperation, my help appeared. I met my first few teachers and healers, which we have an abundance of in India.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can tell you is that within those first few weeks and months, the changes that I made have stayed with me. So it's been 15 years. A lot of this happened at the end of 1999. And
yes.
I have not even had a bad headache, forget about a migraine.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first, yes. I thought you
I was about to ask you, what made you become open and receptive to what was happening to you? Because it had to be something more than the pain you were feeling. What else happened?
What else happened to make me receptive to alternative forms of healing? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yes. Because for so many years, you were having the pain, but suddenly you had a paradigm shift. What happened?
Well, I think my pain threshold got crossed. That was definitely one, you know, that it reached a point where I tried everything and I said, no, it's just too much medicine. I've seen all the doctors. I've seen everybody that I could, and it's not helping.
Mm.
And alongside, I had seen my youngest sister transform back into who she used to be, a very bright, dynamic, creative, powerful person.
Mm-hmm.
And she had for years become a shadow of herself because she herself was sick with an incurable cough. And she spent many months just coughing all night long. My mother would sit with her. She couldn't go to school.
Ooh.
And so I called my mother and I said, you know, who fixed my sister? You know, I need to be fixed. And she gave me the number of a teacher we used to know at the time.
Wow.
Who was a yogi, so she knew some yogic sciences. And I went to her, and she checked me out in her own way, and she asked me to make some dietary changes and go back to her, and she taught me how to meditate. And one of the things that she did was to introduce me to somebody at the time who had just learned EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, which we now know as tapping,
yes.
in California,
mm-hmm.
And was passing through India.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as a complete non-believer, as a complete skeptic, but as a desperate young man, I went to this person who I was told might be able to help me with pain.
Mm.
And so I sat there in front of her, and she asked me, what can I heal for you? And I thought to myself, yeah, right, you're going to heal me. All my life I've been going to doctors, and they couldn't even tell me what's wrong with me.
Mm.
And I promise you, Daphne, 5 minutes later, I could not stop laughing. 80% of my 16-year-old knee pain had vanished.
My Lord. My Lord.
And I promise you it's been 14, 15 years, and my knee pain is now at 1 or 2%. And since then, I've found out what's wrong with it. I have a defect in my knee. In spite of the defect, more than 300 days in a year, there is no pain in my knee.
No pain in your knee, and you're traveling the world without any restriction.
My practice is on all six continents as of today, if you ask any of my any of the kids from my school, from my high school, middle school, my friends, they will all tell you, oh, he's the guy with the bad knee.
That's right, because that was the label they had on you, but, you know, God did something miraculous for you, you know? And
exactly.
I am so glad we are having this conversation now, because there are many who will be listening now and who will listen the archive, and they need to know that their faith cannot be found in the doctors and the pharmaceutical. They have to tap into that which is presented to them through the universe. And don't be judgmental, but just open and be receptive, because what if you had not gone down to California to see that person?
Mm-hmm.
You would still be aching.
That's right, absolutely.
And what has this done for your life? I know now you are so passionate about it. Not only you have a practice, but you are teaching others the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. It has changed my life many times over. Not just once, but many, many times over. I can do much more. I could do much more with myself, with my body, when I was 30 than I could when I was 20.
Mm.
And now I'm 40, and I'm healthier than ever.
You are 40 years
and
old?
Yes, and I'm
your
healthier
picture doesn't
than ever.
Look like you're 40. Oh,
exactly.
My heavens.
You know, most people who meet me are shocked when I tell them I'm 40 years old. You know, most people who come to me as a reference, and that's how most people come to me, when someone tells them that, hey, go see him, you know, once they meet me for the first time and the benefit, then they sheepishly tell me, hey, you know, when you opened the door and I saw you, I thought, what, this young boy is going to help me?
Yes.
You know,
I look at your picture and I thought you was kind of in your late 20s, very early 30s. I had no idea you
were
40.
And I feel like that. I mean, more important than even looking is that I feel like that.
That's the beauty about it.
You know, I can perform like that. My body can do things now which I wanted it to do when I was in my 20s, and I couldn't because I had so much pain.
You know?
So
and I tell you, this episode I think is for me, because I was introduced about 5.5 years ago to tapping, and I did it for a while, and I did not continue. And when I did it, I got benefits. So I have to tap in now and utilize all aspects of it so that I can look younger than you, at least.
Sure. You can. You see, because I have learned, you know, my engineering background has helped me a lot in my journey. And I pursue and I have studied all healing as a science. And I've discovered it is indeed a science. There are laws, there are ways that you can learn the laws, and when you learn to apply the laws with tools like EFT, you can make a lot of changes. You can really a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing hocus-pocus about it. It's very, very scientific.
Right.
And in my training workshops, I tell everyone that I have only one rule at my workshop, and my rule is don't believe anything I tell you.
That's right.
Understand.
Just try it for yourself.
Understand. Yes, understand it. Because there's no belief here. I'm an engineer. I will teach you like an engineer. I will give you proof. I will tell you the logic. I will tell you the laws, and you can question me all you want.
That's right.
Now, if you
but
were to see my...
Yep.
Exactly. And if you were to see my TED Talk, which I gave in New Delhi in 2012, it's on my website, tappingchanges.com.
Yes.
The title of my talk, which is there for eternity online, is Nothing is Incurable.
That's right. Yeah, I listened to it. I saw it. And that's what people need to do. You know, this morning I was having a conversation with a friend of mine in another state, and we were having a similar conversation because she went back to school because she retired from one career and now she's studying another career. And she had a research paper that she was asked by the professor to do about identifying changes that happened in your life for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend is in her 50s, and she lives an amazing life. She exercises, she eats right, and she just does everything healthy. So the woman looks good. She feels good. And she did her paper, and she spoke about the transformation that has took place in her life. She modified her lifestyle, and she highlighted the modifications that she did. And the professor had some choice words for her, because he did not think by her modifying what she eat and doing all those things that it could bring through such a significant change in her life. And he thought that was hocus pocus, you know?
Not at all, not at all.
So my
that I'm,
go ahead.
If I may just add here to further support what you're saying, one of the things that's happened with me here in my years in Singapore is I've become known more perhaps as a migraine healer than anything else. A lot of people here are stressed, they have migraines, and a lot of the people who have healed migraines have simply been able to do that because I've studied their diet and made dietary changes for them.
We probably have
migraines
to get you to come to the East Coast.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
You and I don't have to talk about that, because I'm sure we can get a lot of people, too many people here complaining of headaches and all of that. We'll have to talk about that, because, you know, people need to take care of themselves. And, you know, a lot of times what is affecting us is once we open our mouth, either with what we are swallowing or the words that we are speaking out of it. So our mouth is the cause of a lot of things.
Absolutely, absolutely. The emphasis that the emphasis of my work is beyond the physical. You know, it's at a subtle energy level. So, for example, the knee pain that I had was a physical pain which I had for 16 years, which could not even be diagnosed. And by hitting it correctly at an energetic level, 80% of it cleared in 5 minutes.
And what was the true cause of that pain? Because we know that there was something else that was triggering that pain. When you went and met with the tapping people and the other lady, what did they identify was the true cause?
Well, surprisingly for my knee, they did not even try to identify the true cause because it healed so quickly. And it never came back. You know, if it had come back, we would have had to perhaps gone deeper. But like I said, about 2 years after that, I tore a ligament in this knee partially because I was playing. And so I asked the doctor when we went in for the surgery, I said, this knee's bothered me a long time. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? And he told me there was a minor defect in it. So we know that that was the main cause. However, I know what you're saying, and there are non-physical causes to every physical problem.
Right. A lot of times there are emotional and spiritual things that's happening in us.
Yes. So most of the time it's emotional baggage. Most of the time it's a mental pattern.
That's right.
And so I always say that, you know, it's not EFT, meaning EFT is a very powerful tool, but if you think of it as an extremely powerful hammer that can just smash away your pain, you must know where to hit the hammer. And that's right. And you must know where to hit it in your emotional body and in your mental body and not so much in your physical body. Physical pain is very easy to clear.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
where the laws come in. That's where the laws of energy, a better understanding of who you really are, what your blocked emotions are, and what your blocked emotions are doing to you.
I want to just ask you to take a sip of water there. I want to remind the people in the chat room that you can type your question in that box, or you can call 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And I'm now speaking with Mr. Pantka. I'm probably mispronouncing it. How will you say the first name again?
Like Pankaj.
Oh, Pankaj. Mr. Pankaj Kupna. Pankaj Kupna, and he has joined us from Singapore. And we are now talking about healing, natural healing, and all of those amazing things that it does for you. We're talking about how it's aligned with the law of energy and all of that. So call in if you have a question. And remember, there are no stupid questions, only those that have not been asked. So don't come off the line without getting your question asked. We have approximately 26 minutes remaining. So ask your questions, and later on you're going to hear about how you can get in touch with him. And if you know anybody who is suffering from migraines and any other severe chronic pain, this is the call they need to be on so they can ask their question. Okay. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Okay, so let's talk about, over the years you have been on many platforms, and would you like to share some of the stories or testimonials of what happened once you teach those people?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. And I'd also like to share these stories because they will help us to understand that your energy body is the source of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning even money is energy first. The nature of your relationships is an energetic nature. You have an energy connection with everything and everyone in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you begin to understand that, the first thing that you can understand is that there are no accidents, and life
That's
is
right.
not happening to you. You have actually been in control of your life. You just didn't know what part of you was in control. And
That's
that part
right.
is the energetic part, which means
mm-hmm.
that the solutions to all your problems lie within your energy. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I help people with, is to find those causes and pull those causes out from the root. And as soon as that is done, the situation changes. And most of the time,
mm-hmm.
the situations that you want to change are called people.
That's right.
Okay, so I'll give you a very small example, but it illustrates the power of shifting energy. It's a very recent example from 2 weeks ago. One lady here in Singapore came to me also with a migraine problem, but when I was trying to find out what her other stresses were, and she was extremely upset that she's Indian, and so am I, and in India we still have a lot of close family connections, closer compared to what we may have in the United States, for example. And so it mattered to her that her husband's parents ignored her most of the time. They'd been married a long time, and they would call him on their anniversary but not call her. And that rejection really bothered her.
Yes.
And instead of justifying it, instead of saying, oh, well, you know, your parents love you, forget about them, you know, your husband loves you, how do they matter, you never meet them, you know, instead of saying things like that, I said, fine, let's fix your energy and let's see what happens, because I'm confident that that's going to change. And
right.
we did about 3 sessions, and when she came back for the 3rd session, she said, you know, Pankaj, I'm holding you to your word, my 20th anniversary is in 3 days. And I know they're going to call my husband. So I said, great, you know, you can hold me to your word. And then that evening she sent me a message and she said, unbelievable, my father-in-law called me and wished me. It's never happened before. So
isn't that something?
She didn't say,
when
she didn't
we
say
are
a word
ready. This is why, you know, in this world, there are two, when people are ready to transform, there are 2 very important words I ask them to think about up front, and it's the word decision and action. Because once you have made the decision about what is not right and needs attention, then you need to take the action to follow through, which she did.
Exactly. And the only action, in my view, the only action that is needed most of the time is to fix your energy, and everything
That's
else
right.
falls
That's right.
falls into place. For example,
that's right.
She did not take any action to connect with her father-in-law. She didn't say a word to her husband. She didn't even tell him what she was up to with the healings.
That's
she
right.
just did what I was asking her to do.
Exactly.
And which was raising her vibration.
That's right, because she could have come to you. She could have made a decision to come to you and not take the action to do what you do, and she would have gotten the same result.
Exactly.
You know? That's amazing. Amazing story. Amazing story.
I'll give you another. So this is one about relationships and human relationships. And the point that I take a lot of time to teach at my workshops is that everybody is actually mirroring something within you. And if instead of looking at the image in the mirror and trying to change the image in the mirror, which is not possible, you go within. And you become
mm-hmm.
aware of what it is they're reflecting, and you learn how to change that. Changes can happen instantly. Now, I'll give you another example, which is one of my favorites. It's about money, which affects all of us. We're all trying to earn money. We all want to be wealthy. We all want to live a life of ease and abundance, and there is nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
At a workshop that I was conducting, actually, it was on Christmas weekend, and most of us in India are not Christian, though we have a large number of Christians, and we do celebrate Christmas. Christmas
right.
weekend is when, you know, it is a holiday, but most people aren't doing much. And so I had a workshop on that weekend in 2010, and one of my students was there. It was an advanced level workshop. And
mm-hmm.
I asked them, you know, I said, during these 2 days, at the beginning of these 2 days, I want you to just for a few minutes think of me as nothing less than a genie, and that I'm going to grant you a wish, and I don't want you to wish like the beaten up human being that you are right now. I want you to wish like a child, and then I will tell you how to manifest that wish. And one of the ladies there had been running a company for 7 years, and she had been making losses for 7 years straight. And she said, you know, I want to know if I should run my business or not. And I asked her, is that really what you want to know, or do you want your business to make money? She said, of course, I want my business to make money, but 7 years I've tried everything. Nothing's worked. I'm in a lot of debt. I'm in a lot of losses. So fine, no problem. Then we cleared a lot of her fears and limiting beliefs. This was at the end of December. In India, the financial year closes on the 31st of March. On the 1st of April, she called me and she said, Pankaj, 3 months later, on the 31st of March yesterday, we closed our accounts for this year, and our net profit is the equivalent of $1 million.
Woo!
This testimonial is on my website. The lady's name and
wow.
the company name is on my website.
Wow.
She has given me permission. There is a handwritten letter by her on my website.
Wow.
And
amazing.
I will tell you, the only
amazing.
Thing we cleared, the core issue that we cleared for her was that she had a deep-rooted fear of handling large sums of money. So it
mm-hmm.
wasn't that large sums of money wasn't coming in. She kept losing it. It was either being stolen or it was being misappropriated, or there were losses in the company or something
mm-hmm.
would happen with that money. She could not hold on to that money in her company.
Wow.
So even the company was a manifestation of her energy. And I've asked her many times at other workshops that she's attended, because she was so encouraged by this result. And I said,
yes,
what did
yes.
you do differently? She said, I did nothing differently. I just kept fixing my energy. And the wrong people left, the right people came. The wrong customers left, the right customers came. We got the right products,
my Lord.
We got the right ideas. I cannot
my
believe
Lord.
How smoothly it happened.
My Lord. Wow, what a testimony. I want to keep you abreast that we have approximately 18 minutes remaining. And I know you probably have some important points you want to give out that we haven't touched yet. So I want to give you that opportunity to do that now, and then we'll go back to our regular tone of conversation.
That sounds good. So I'm going to give another example which will help me summarize the points. So we've spoken about relationships. We've spoken about money.
Mm-hmm.
And the third example, which also comes from this workshop, to me really shows you that when your energy is aligned, almost nothing is impossible. there was another young lady there at the workshop, and she said, well, if the genie will allow me two wishes, I have two wishes to make. And one is that I want to know if my brother is alive and where he is and how he is. Because they had lost their parents early on, and her brother had become a drug addict, and she hadn't heard from him for 5 years. She didn't even know if she was alive. If he was alive, and she said, "I've turned every stone that I could. I have no idea where he is, and he's the only family I have, you know, apart from her kids and her husband."
Yeah.
And she said, and this is something she'd been telling me for years, that her son is just the most difficult kid in the world. And she said, you know, I have to spend 2 or 3 hours with him at every meal, and I don't have that kind of time, or he doesn't eat. And a lot of other things like that.
Yes.
And the next day, she came back. She came in the morning. It was a Sunday. She came in bright and early, and she was like, "Oh, Pankaj, you're God." I said, "What happened?" She said, "You've given me a new son. Overnight, my son has grown up 10 years. You know, I went to yesterday after the workshop, and I thought that I'll have to spend 3 hours with him. He's been a throat fit because I've been out the whole day. And my husband says that he had his dinner, he gave his little sister dinner, and they're both sleeping. I could not believe it. And this morning, instead of, you know, just holding on to me and not letting me go for hours, that no, don't go, it's Sunday, I want to be at home. He said, no, Mama, go do your tapping, and he was really happy.
Wow.
And I've met that kid. I've been to their home a couple of times, and it's a permanent change.
Mm.
And what happened, I'm going to tell you very briefly, is that what happened is that because this lady, this young lady, lost her parents, and she was the younger sister, at 12 years old, she tried to become a mother to her brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what happened? That young mother, to herself, did a terrible job because her son became a drug addict and he left home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all of those fears of messing up with her brother that she was projecting onto her son.
Onto her son. My.
So it wasn't her son, it was her brother she was raising. And therefore
the
son is acting like the brother.
Like the brother.
And as soon as we cleared that, so as soon as we cleared that fear that she's going to mess up with her son like she did with her other son, her brother, she became a different mother and he became a different son.
She grew up and she became the adult. That birth,
exactly.
That child. Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
and it did
amazing.
Not even take 20 minutes. It did not
this
even take 20 minutes. Yeah.
This is amazing.
And a week later, I can forward you emails from her. A week later, she wrote to me and she said her brother called. And not only did he call, he is doing great. He's a chef. He works in Canada. He's married. He's happy. And when he comes home, he'll come home. It wasn't just news about the brother. It was the best news ever.
Yes.
It is all up to you. It is all up to you.
Right,
that
it is up
message.
To you. It's up to you.
And you don't need to take any outward action. The only action
That's
you need to take is an inward action.
It's an inward action. A decision and decide to act from the inside. Yes.
That is my message. That's my main message.
Yes.
That EFT is a great tool. And with that tool, if you can arm yourself with the knowledge about who you really are, what's really going on, I can help you see what's really going on within you. And as soon as we change your frequencies, as soon as we clear your baggage, and I promise you, all baggage can be dropped.
All baggage.
I've been doing this work for 15 years. I've heard the most horrible things that have happened to people, and I've pulled them all out of it. It's not difficult.
Not difficult.
You don't.
I want to tell you right now, Pankaj, that I want to have you back. And when I end this, I'm going to be calling you on Skype when I get off here because I need to say something to you. We have 12 minutes, 12 and a half minutes remaining. I want you to use this time to tell people how to get in touch with you and also any closing words that you may have for my listeners. And again, I honor you for the work that you're doing, and I'm feeling from deep inside that this is just the beginning of something great we'll be doing. So
it really is, and I thank you, and I honor the work that you're doing of connecting people with resources. I think that's extremely important.
Thank you.
Sure. So the way to connect with me is pretty simple, and email is the best way to reach us. It's partially because of the nature of my work, where I'm unable to take calls for many hours at a time.
Yeah.
My website is tappingchanges.com, TAPPINGCHANGES, tappingchanges.com. And even if you were to put in my name and just tapping, like it is on your blog page, you'll be able to find me on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of finding me, in case you didn't get the website right, is if the listeners follow you, Daphne, on Facebook, then I'm one of your friends on Facebook. They can find me there. So just look for the keyword tapping, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All the work that I do in person can also be done online.
Wonderful.
So typically at my workshops, and my online workshops are full two-way interactive. You know, it's not just
beautiful.
A recording. You know,
beautiful.
It's not something where you just see some pre-prepared text, but you'll see me, you'll see the board I'm writing on, you'll see the other people who are present in the room with me, and you'll
beautiful.
Feel like a part of the whole group. So
beautiful.
Whatever I do online, so it doesn't matter where in the world you are. Sometimes the time differences can make a bit of a difference. But I travel
just
quite
have to
a bit.
Stay committed, yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I do travel quite a bit across time zones, so there will always be something happening in your time zone soon enough. Then I also do a lot of my healing on Skype. You see, energy knows no distance or time.
That's right.
Okay, if
that's
you
right.
have a headache right now, for example, with healing, sitting here in Singapore, we can heal your headache. The distance doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're in New York or on the moon or in
mm-hmm.
the next building here in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
so you must understand that. And the way to understand that is going back to middle school physics. You know, nothing that I teach is more complex than middle school science. You know, it's that simple. And we learned that energy cannot be created or destroyed, which means energy is infinite. If it's infinite, it has no distance. It knows no distance. It's everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people who have had great results with me have never actually met me.
My Lord.
Okay, we've only worked on Skype or on the phone. Sometimes they're in countries where they don't even have a good internet connection. We just do it on the phone.
Mm.
So one of my main messages to everyone out there is you don't have to suffer.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what happened to you emotionally, physically, or mentally. We can heal it. We can heal it permanently. It does not have to limit you. Okay, this is something you must understand because that is considered normal. It's considered normal to age. It's considered normal to get sick once in a while. It's considered normal to get old, and it's considered normal to have pain. If you've broken a bone, the pain will stay with you forever. You know, all kinds of things are considered normal. None of it is normal.
That's right.
None of it is genetic.
Right. Exactly.
It's the attitude
exactly.
that you've inherited from your parents that is playing out on you. And it all goes down to your attitude. It may sound very simple, but I can promise you that you don't know the hundreds of things which are actually affecting and limiting your attitude.
That's right.
There are people,
you know,
all of you, every single listener, I guarantee, knows somebody who's more successful than them, but not as smart as them.
That's
all
right.
of you know someone who makes more money than you, but they work a lot less hard than you. What's
That's
the difference?
Right.
The difference is energy.
That's right.
And you also know people. You also know somebody who has great potential, but they don't seem to be able to manifest anything. They're worse off than you. What's the difference? We live in the
energy.
Same world. We live in the same potential. It's what you're carrying in your energy.
That's right. And the beauty is that it's not too late. So long as
it's
you make the decision, never too late. You can start right now where you are. You know?
Absolutely.
You can start right now where you are. Right. You have 5 more minutes.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Dan?
We talk about one of the things that came in my mind to ask you was, whether or not people need to be present, and you you answer that question. And I'm sure there's no age group where you start. You can start from what age to what age you start.
Well, as far as healing goes, you know, I've even worked with very young children.
Mm-hmm. So long
and,
as they can understand.
Yeah, they don't even need to understand, because there are many ways in which I can heal a person. And with little children, I have to work differently, because they're not very patient.
So
half the challenge is to just get there, you know, is to get them to sit there still for 15 minutes. You know, so
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that's all I have with them. So it's different. With workshops that I do for teenagers, you know, the workshops are just half a day long, while a similar workshop I might do for grown-ups, I'll go more in-depth, and that would be a 1.5 or 2-day workshop.
Okay, wonderful.
So it doesn't matter. The same way, you know, there are people, sometimes middle-aged or senior citizens, who really don't remember their baggage or who don't want to remember their baggage, and we can still help them.
That's right, because it's very
ways
so...
To help them.
Wow,
exactly.
Beautiful.
So everyone can be helped. Everybody
beautiful.
Can be helped.
Beautiful. Well, I just want you to know that I honor what you're doing again, and, you know, I just look forward to having you back, and, you know, as I say, I'm going to be calling you on Skype, because I know what you are doing is a magnificent thing, and I'm glad when I went to the Awesomeness page and saw it, mm-hmm. and saw your name, and I said, I wonder if he's related to Anil Gupta. And then I saw it happen, and I said, oh, I said, let me jot his name down. So I jot your name mm-hmm. down in my journal. So I've been watching mm-hmm. you since I got back from Awesomeness Fest.
That's pretty
so
awesome.
I'm glad we connected and that we talk, and it's just amazing. I know this in itself is a blessing.
Thank you. I'm going to use this our Awesomeness Fest experience very quickly to clarify a point. You know, when I say that it's not about action, I'm not saying that you don't have to do anything or that you just sit under a tree with a smile. No. The action that you take is the action that you enjoy taking.
Exactly.
So for example, I'm taking action right now, and I'm enjoying every minute of this interview. I take
mm-hmm.
action conducting workshops, and I enjoy it. I don't
That's
particularly
right.
enjoy marketing, so I don't do much marketing, but then my energy does all the marketing. Every time
yeah.
becomes a member of my marketing team.
You know, you're talking to me now. A few months ago, somebody said to me, you market everybody else, and you don't market yourself. You know,
that's true. So for example, I went to A-Fest in August last year. I was in Singapore. I felt, well, Bali is a stone's throw away. Let me go and see what's happening. I came purely out of curiosity. And of course, I felt, like they said, you know, there'd be a bit of networking. It could help your international practice grow.
Mm.
And I did not even have a business card. I have never had a business card, you see, and I have more work than I can handle.
My Lord, look at that.
So I went there. A lot of people gave me business cards. They asked for mine, and I would just hold up the tag, the conference tag with my name on it, and I wrote my website on it with my hand. I said, take a picture. And all my information is on my website, you know.
Beautiful.
And I did not have a business card. I had no discount coupons, like some of the teachers there were giving discount coupons. I hardly
yeah.
spoke to anyone. I was kind of watching more than participating.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
at the next workshop that I did in Singapore, I had 5 or 6 of those A-Festers from different countries in my workshop. And I told them, look, you guys know how much the A-Fest conference costs. You guys know how much you paid for this workshop. Do the math. I have already recovered my cost for my entire A-Fest trip.
Exactly.
And many of you
yeah.
want
wow.
continue sessions with me, and many of you have already told me you want to call me to your cities and organize workshops. But I did
no.
not take any action. I went to A-Fest with the right energy, and A-Fest is helping me make more money. It's helping me reach more people. It's helping more people get help. And all of it is just happening.
Mm-hmm.
Why
yeah, because
there were some other
A-Festers, you know, I was not even in Bali. I was in the Dominican Republic, and here we are connecting because I went to AFES with one intention. I dismantled what I was doing, and I need to start over, and I said, God, this is a new platform for me. I said, it's a reason that you are getting me there, and I turned up. I said, I am turning up, and the rest is up to you. And that's where I am now. So I came into 2014 with new intentions. I have an intention board that I state what I want there, and I know that this is the year that I'm going to be doing, you know, amazing things.
That's absolutely right. And if you are really ready, the universe honors every intention. The universe will never dishonor your intention. The only thing one has to look at is, are you really ready? Are you ready for the success you want? Are you really ready to take the responsibility for the success that you want?
That's right.
So
that's
in short,
right.
The key word is responsibility.
Yeah, I took the decision. I know I'm ready, and I am ready to take action. So, again, I honor you. Thank you so, so, so very much. And I'm going to be speaking with you in a few minutes. I want to thank all the guests on the phone and in the chat room, and for all of you people who will be downloading this from the archives. Spread the word, because everybody needs to hear this. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you so much. And now you can go and listen to the Oscars and watch the
Oscars.
Thank
you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a blessed week.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?